So we'll get started now. Maybe just a note or two about housekeeping. So first of all, before we really get started, tonight's shiur should be b'schus refu shleima for Frida Sima, Basara Leia, and for Fol Yisrael Dov ben Avigai Leia, b'soch shar chol Yisrael. And then two housekeeping points. This is number 5 in the 7-part series. There are a few other topics that we would still like to get to. I'm hoping to, the next time, meaning next week, for Hanukkah, at least as of now, we're off. We'll talk about that in just a second. We're going to be talking about lighting when you're eating at someone else's house, when you're not home, in-laws, whatever it may be. Where should you light? Should you light at your host's house? Should you light at home, etc.? We want to talk about electric lights and how that works, and also when the bracha on Ner Shabbos, and also how do we accept Shabbos? Is it we automatically accepting when we light Shabbos, or we can light, have in mind to, you know, still do things, you know, last odds and ends before Shabbos actually starts, and how does that all work? What I did want to ask was that, as far as I was told when we initially, when Emma Katz and I made the schedule, that we weren't going to have a shiur on Hanukkah next Monday night. I'm open to giving a shiur. I'm not going anywhere. I don't know if anybody is. I don't know if anybody wants to learn together in Hanukkah. Anybody have anything to say about that? Would people be interested? Are people available to learn next Monday night at 8 o'clock? We can do a Hanukkah topic. We can do, you know, a whole host of topics about Hanukkah. Maybe Hanukkah and Shabbos. We can do electric candles. Does that work for menorah? Does it work for Shabbos candles? Is anyone interested in learning next week? Is anybody available to learn next week?
I'm available. I have no problem with learning.
Okay, we got one.
I'm available also.
Anybody else? Okay, I'm liking this already. Sounds good to me. Okay, awesome. We got another one. Okay, maybe we'll do something next week. Maybe I'll speak to Emma, and maybe there's, I guess people read the Neely emails, I assume, if you're here. Okay, great. Ms. Miller's in also. Awesome. Okay, you know, let's do a little Hanukkah. Maybe we'll do electric candles. Party on. There we go. Absolutely. Okay. It can't be a yontif if we're not learning Torah together. So we're going to make it happen. Okay, that just got me really excited now. I'm pumped. Okay. Awesome. So tonight's shiur, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to be learning about how many candles should we be lighting. And not only that, what happens when a person misses a week? There's this idea, maybe we've heard, that if you miss a week of lighting Shabbos candles, there's this knas, there's this punishment almost, where you have to keep on lighting. So let's start from the beginning. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, and this is found in the Torah and many other sources as well, Yehei zahir lasos ner yafa. It's very important to be very careful when it comes to lighting Shabbos candles, to make sure you have a ner yafa, to make sure that you have a nice candle. V'yesh mechavnin la'asos shtei psilos, echad keneged zachor, ve'echad keneged shamor. And there are those who are careful to have two psilos. Psilos means a what? It's good because we're learning Shabbos, and we're also getting into Hanukkah.
What?
A psilos are wicks, right? It's not two separate candles, but you should have two wicks, one for Shamor and one for Zachor. Now, it's just interesting to point out, I was looking at the Shmir Shabbos before I signed on to the Zoom tonight, just to look at one or two last couple things, but very interestingly, I never knew this, but he says the following, an Isha hanoheges lahadlik mispar misuyam shel neiros Shabbos, a woman who lights a specific number of candles for Shabbos, so she's not allowed to minimize that number. We're going to see in just a bit in terms of how many we're supposed to be lighting. You know what, actually, let's do that and we'll come back to this. Let's be a little bit more organized here. Let's start like this. Again, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, they tell us, you light two wicks. You should be careful to make sure they're nice. Two wicks for Shabbos, one keneged Shamor, one keneged Zachor. The Beis Yosef, which is written by Rabbi Yosef Cairo, who also wrote the Shulchan Aruch, tells us that we find all sorts of couplets or pairs when it comes to Shabbos. We have Kavod and Oneg, we have Lech and Mishnah, we have Zachor v'Shamor, all sorts of pairs. The Karbanos on Shabbos were brought in pairs as well, and because of that, we want to have two wicks or two candles. The Mishnah Brura tells us there are actually varying minhagim or customs as to how many candles are to be lit. He actually tells us, and the Rama even says before the Mishnah Brura, the Rama says that v'yichol and lahosif ulahadlik shlosha o arba neros v'chein ahagu. Many people light three or four from the get-go, so not one or two, but three or four. Although maybe you can say that's actually referring to the wicks, so two wicks would be one candle, so four wicks would be two candles, but maybe it's actually referring to three or four candles independently. Okay, fine. But then check this out. The Mishnah Brura says v'yesh nogin lahadlik shiva neros keneged shivas yimei hashavua. There are those who are makbid to light seven candles corresponding to the 7 days of the week. And not only that, v'yesh asara k'neged aseres hadibros, there are those who light, 10 candles corresponding to aseres hadibros. V'in tzrichon yos kulon al ha'shulchan. Now, if you're lighting that many candles, it could be a little bit dangerous to have them all out on the table. You can spread them out a little bit, and that would be okay. There's also a widespread minhag to add a candle in addition to the initial two for every member of the family, and we'll talk about where that comes from as well. Although I do remember one time I was at my in-laws on a Friday night, and for those of you who know the Pero family, Kanai Nahara, they have a lot of kids. And the idea is that, Baruch Hashem, with that many kids, they have a lot of candles to be lighting Friday night. And I remember one time, I don't know if it was a blackout or the lights just weren't set. In the middle of the meal, the lights went off. And, I don't know how many they have, 13, 15, whatever candles they light, there was sufficient light. It was very, very nice. And I think it definitely added to the ambiance of Shabbos with all those candles. That being said, let's come back to this Shmir Shabbos. The Shmir Shabbos Kehochas tells us the following, that a person who decides to light a particular number of candles is not allowed to minimize that number. You can't go, if you start lighting seven, Keneg Yimei HaShvua, you light seven for the 7 days of the week, you're not allowed to go ahead and start lighting two. Really interesting, a person wants to do so, they actually have to do Hataras Nedarim. And not only that, Vigam Ha'isha Hanoheges Lahadik Dafka Neros Gedolim, if a person wants to write, usually lights, let's say, larger candles, and now they're switching to a smaller candle, they would also have to do Hataras Nedarim. Now, why is that? What's Hataras Nedarim? We're familiar with Hataras Nedarim from usually before Rosh Hashanah. And it comes from a halach in Yoredei, and it's found elsewhere in Or HaChaim. But the main idea is, in the Shulchan Aruch and the Shachar, both Makbid, that a person who has a particular Minhag Tova, right, a Hanhaga Tova needs Hatara, because the assumption is a Hanhaga Tova, a positive custom, something that we're going to be doing. We have no intention of stopping, we just think it's a nice thing to do, and I'm going to keep it up, why not? So it almost takes on the status of a full-fledged Neder, because in your mind you have no plan on stopping that Hanhaga, that minhag, that custom. And because of that, it would actually require Hataras Nedarim. I thought that was a pretty interesting thing. So again, if a person is normally lighting seven and they want to drop down to two or three or four, so that would actually require Hataras Nedarim according to the Shmir Shabbos and the Shach and others. What's interesting from that, and actually I called a relief tag right before we started. He didn't get back to me and I put my phone on airplane mode, so I'm not sure. Maybe he did get back to me by now. But what's almost implied is if that you go up though, meaning you ki'ilu up your Ner Shabbos game, we'll call it like that, right? It wouldn't perhaps need Hatara, meaning if a person normally just lights two candles and then decide, you know what, I'm going to up it, I'm going to go to seven, I think it's a beautiful thing, more candles, more light, it's a great thing. So maybe that would not require Hataras Nedarim if you usually light with, let's say those the large white Shabbos candles, and then a person decides, you know, they're walking in Jewel one day and they couldn't find those candles, but they find these beautiful olive oil Shemen Zayas candles that come in the pre-made cups, whatever it is, and it's nicer to light with Shemen Zayas. So perhaps, or presumably, I should say, that would not require Hataras Nedarim because you're upping your game in Ner Shabbos. So that was like just an interesting note. What's fascinating, and I saw this earlier today also, is that the Chassam Sofer in his Tshuvas points out, he really asks a funny question. He says, if we assume that the candles are to be lit Keneged Shamor and Zachor, right? We're lighting two candles, two psilos, two wicks that correspond to Shamor and Zachor. So then who's to say we're allowed to light even more? I thought that was a good question. Meaning, it sounds nice. It's good to have lots of candles. But he's saying if it's fundamentally based on this notion that they're supposed to correspond or convey the message of Shamor and Zachor, so then who are we to start adding more and more candles? So he actually notes that there are other areas in Halacha where we're allowed to add. He points out to the Psukim in Malchios, in Tfilas Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says that we're supposed to have 10 Psukim, we're supposed to count 10 Psukim, praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which correspond to the Asara Ma'amaros, the 10 utterances with which the world was created. Obviously, Rosh Hashanah is commemorating, and it's the first day, it's commemorating the first day of the world, it's the first day of the year for us, and yet, even though the 10 Psukim in Malchios are supposed to correspond to those Ma'amaros, still we're allowed to add more to it, and we're allowed to bless, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. We simply are not allowed to say less than 10, but to do more than 10 is totally fine. And the Chassam Sofer explains that with regards to candles, his lashon is it's a mitzvah laharbos, I mean, the more candles, the better. Again, we spoke about in previous weeks about Kavod and Oneg and creating a certain atmosphere and aura in the home that gets us excited for Shabbos. So he says, because of that, there's a mitzvah laharbos. You're allowed to have many more candles, as many as you want. The baseline is 2. You can't go less than that. But the more candles, the merrier, so to speak. And that's both, again, from a Kavod and an Oneg perspective, getting ready for Shabbos and having more lights on in the house during Shabbos. And he says this is true, again, like we said, in terms of the Malchios. And he says it's also true for Alios on Shabbos. Generally speaking, we have 7 Alios in Shul on Shabbos. Now, maybe you've been to a bar mitzvah or something special going on in Shul where they added an 8th, maybe even a 9th Aliyah on Shabbos. And he says, again, that's going to be okay. You just can't go below the baseline of 7. But to do more, he says, it's in certain cases, it's a mitzvah laharbos, a mitzvah lahosif. So I thought that would be another interesting... Again, his question, I thought, was a cool question of who says you're allowed to do more. If it's supposed to be Shomer and Zohar, why are we doing more than that? Fine, so that's a little bit in terms of how many candles one is supposed to light. Any questions up until here? Again, feel free to call out or put it in the chat. Okay, so then we're going to keep on going, but I will periodically blean either check the chat. Now, what happens when one forgets to light? The Shulchan Aruch tells us, Ha'isha sheshok chapam achas lahadlik, a woman who forgets to light 1 week. Now, presumably, this refers to a man also if he's lighting. But maybe this is really, Shulchan Aruch is using Lashon of an Isha, because we spoke about the Rambam last week, how she's the one who's calling the shots in the house, and because of that, she takes more of an achrayas for that mitzvah. So a woman who forgets to light 1 week, Madlekes kol yemeha shlosha neros. That woman, for the rest of time, kol yemeha, all her days, is going to be lighting 3 neros. So what's happening here? Let's take a step back for a second. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that we're supposed to light a ner yafa. We're supposed to have a nice candle to be lit on Shabbos. It should have 2 wicks, zachar v'shomer. The Ramah tells us, number one, you can light 3 or 4 candles. It doesn't have to be 2. Okay, that we said already. And now the Ramah is teaching us the following. If a woman forgets to light candles, and again, presumably her husband forgot to light as well, so then she has to add a candle to the amount of candles she normally lights. So if a person, let's say her status quo is 2, so now she's lighting 3. If her status quo is 4, now she's lighting 5. Now, the Ber Halacha notes the following. Who is the Ber Halacha? The Ber Halacha was the Mishnah Brura, who is also the Chafetz Chaim, who also authored many other Sfarim. The Mishnah Brura is a collection of poskim, right? It's more of Piskei Halacha, whereas the Ber Halacha, he kind of opens up the hood underneath those halachos and tries to understand the mechanics and the inner workings of the halacha, more of the reasons, some of the lumdas, etc. So the Ber Halacha points out that a woman only needs to add the candles if she completely forgot to light. But let's say a woman normally lights 7 candles, and for whatever reason this week she only lit 2, so she wouldn't have to light a candle moving forward. Again, it's to be clear, you only have to add a candle if you completely missed. Now again, many people have this minhag to light candles that correspond to the number of people found in their house. And we ask, where does this come from? Where does it, what's the makor, what's the source for this idea? So people have suggested, and if anybody has heard differently or has heard, you know, actually like this, that'd be great. But perhaps it comes from the idea that recuperation from childbirth is very taxing and it's very difficult. And that first Shabbos for a new mother is going to be very difficult. And they're dealing with the baby and so many other things. So they would actually miss that first week and have a knas the rest of their lives. Meaning, we always thought it's just a nice thing. You add 1 candle for the next person found in the house. So it was 2, and now Baruch Hashem, there's a baby in the family. Let's add 3, and then another baby, we'll add 4. But some people actually say this all comes from missing that first week after childbirth. I thought that was an interesting position. I'm not sure. There's like a revolution, revisionist history. I don't really know. I haven't seen anything. If anybody has heard, I'd love to hear. But the question is, again, where does it come from, this notion of adding another candle? So the Maharil says the following. If someone missed a week, they have to light more than what they had been lighting in the past. Now, if we're careful and we're sensitive to the nuance of the text, I remember once, my first year in the Kolo, I was giving a shir. And I wanted to say that if we're medayik in the Lashon of, I don't know, the Rambam or the Rashi, whatever it was. And I remember asking Rabbi Brand, I said, you can't really say, you know, medayik in the Lashon. Like, how do you say that in English? You know, I was coming out of YU. I was coming out of the Beis Medrash, and I didn't know how to say that in English. And Rabbi Brand, I remember he told me, he's like, if we're sensitive to the nuance of the text, so every time I want to say, if you're medayik in the Lashon, if you carefully read the Lashon, so you got to be sensitive to the nuance of the text. So the Darkei Moshe, again, just to know who we're playing with, who the players are, the Darkei Moshe is Rav Moshe Isserles, who also wrote the Ramah. The Ramah are the glosses on Shulchan Aruch, whereas the Darkei Moshe is a little bit longer. They're not just glosses, they're a little bit longer pieces, and that's commenting on the Torah and the Beis Yosef. So the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah tells us, and I'm going to read the words here and listen carefully. Kasav Maharil Isha Shishak Chavalohe Lika Ner B'Shabbos, a woman who forgets and doesn't light candles on Shabbos, Shitzricha Kol Yemeh Lahosef Al Ner Shel Mitzvah Yosir Mimasha Haisa Regila Lahadlik Arata. Again, I'm going to read that slower, and then we're going to translate. What does she need to do? Hosif al ha-ner shel mitzvah. She has to add on to the ner shel mitzvah. Yoser, more than masha haisa regila lahadlik arata. She has to add more to the candle. Now, it's interesting, again, because if we're sensitive to the text of the Darkei Moshe here, we're not saying you have to actually light a whole new candle, right? If you usually got, I don't know what the Zmanim are for candles, let's say the 30-minute candles, and now you want to get the 45-minute candles, right? It's like the Kilu or Kamev Chanukah, you know, the Chanukah colorful candles, and you have the Erev Shabbos Chanukah licht candles, you know, the white and blue ones, or whatever colors they are. Either way, nonetheless, the point is that the Darkei Moshe quotes the Maharil, saying that you have to add to the licht, you have to add to the candles. It doesn't necessarily mean the count of the candles, but it means to add to the sheer, the amount of time the candles are going to be lit. Again, the Darkei Moshe doesn't like this, though. He continues after quoting the Maharil. He says, I don't know where people get this from. It seems to be totally out of the blue. And he actually says that if you end up doing more than those two candles, you lose out on Zachar V'Shamor. Right? This is an idea we just mentioned a moment ago from the Chassam Sofer. So the Darkei Moshe already is saying that this is kind of a bizarre idea to start adding more and more candles because you lose out on the Zachar V'Shamor. But, he says, since people already know Hig, people already accepted this minhag to light another candle, so we're not going to stop them from doing so. And not only are we not going to stop them from doing so, in the Ramah, again now in the glosses in the Shulchan Aruch, he actually paskins this. He says if a person forgets to light, lahadlik madlekas kol yemeha shlosha neiros, if a person is normally lighting two candles, and then they forget, so then they actually have to light three candles the rest of their life. And it says in parentheses, he quotes the Maharil. So again, the Ramah kind of takes this and runs with it. Now it sounds like if we're kind of conceptualize this idea, it sounds like this is a knas. A knas means a fine. And it's almost like we're punishing someone for not being careful. Because again, the whole halacha started with the Shulchan Aruch and even the Ptor telling us that you have to be zahir, you have to be very careful when it comes to Ner Shabbos. Now, parenthetically, I just thought this is a nice idea. The Shari Tshuva says that you yourself shouldn't light more, but rather you should find someone who, Rachmana Litzlan, again, this is hard for us to really fathom and to fully appreciate, but, I mean, for sure for me, but it's a crazy thing to think about that people can't afford a single candle. But the Shari Tshuva says you shouldn't light another candle yourself, but as a kenas, you should go ahead and pay for someone else who can't afford it, and you should support Ki'ilu their Ner Shabbos the rest of their lives. Again, a little bit of a Baruch Hashem, we live in a time where that's not common, but that's the idea of it being a kenas. What's the other way to understand it? So the Prima Gadim, I didn't see this inside, but I saw it quoted, says it's not a kenas, it's not a fine, it's not a punishment, but rather it's betoras kapara, meaning we need an atonement for not being mekayim the mitzvah. We missed out on a mitzvah. We call that being mevatel a mitzvah's essay, a bitel essay, and because we lost it, we need to do something that kind of provides some sort of atonement or some sort of kapara. Who cares? What's the difference, right? We would say in the base measures, what's a nafkamina between those two approaches? I.e., is it a kanas, a punishment? Or is it a kapara, we need to do tshuva, so to speak? We need an atonement for missing out on the mitzvah. So the idea is, and we're going to see this in a second, is why did you miss it? Meaning, why did one, not you, chas v'shalom, but why did one miss out on lighting Ner Shabbos? Meaning, in other words, was it an onis? An onis means it was a totally inadvertent, out of your control, not your fault. Well, if it's totally inadvertent, right, the Mishnah Berurah, this is kind of a funny one, but the Mishnah Berurah in his classic example of a, what's it called, of an onis, is if you're in jail. In your jail, you couldn't get any candles, and because of that, hold on, I'm just gonna, a little bit of a feedback there. Okay, so because a person's in jail, they couldn't light candles. So if you're onis, you don't have any issues, you don't have to light another candle moving forward. because that's not your fault. However, if you assume it's a kapara, if you assume that it's providing an atonement for missing out on Ner Shabbos at one point, so then you would still need to continue lighting. And the proof, perhaps, for this, I was thinking, is the fact that the very first Al-Chayt that we say, when we start clapping Al-Chayt in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva season, is Al-Chayt Shechatanu Lefanecha Be'ones U'Beratzon. Right? We still say, it wasn't my fault, it was completely inadvertent. But Lamaisa, at the end of the day, reality is that we missed out on a mitzvah opportunity, and that's something that should bother us. So again, how do we assume? Is it a knas? Is it a fine, a punishment? Or is it a kapara? And we're going to see in just a moment that we paskin lamaisa, practical halacha, is that if it was an ones, the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, and others tell us that you don't have to light a new candle moving forward if it was an ones. Fine. One more issue before we get to the ones component, and that's the following. Let's say the Shmir Shabbos discusses the following case. If one forgot to light candles, but you turned on lights in the house l'kavod Shabbos, right? So you were setting the lights, you were taking care of everything all around the house, going through the Erev Shabbos checklist, and then something happened, someone spilled, someone needed you, and you ran upstairs to help that person, and then by the time you got back to the candles, it was already Shabbos, and you said, Oyveh, what am I supposed to do? So what happens there? You set up lights throughout the house, l'kavod Shabbos. At the same time, though, you didn't light your Ner Shabbos for Shabbos. So what do we do there? So the Shmir Shabbos, kind of goes through both sides. He's not sure. He's not sure which one it is, right? But he does quote the Sefer, the Shailos and Shuvos, Melamed Lehovel. Melamed Lehovel was written by Rav David Tzvi Hoffman. And he thought, again, the Shmir Shabbos, it's not clear to me whether the Shmir Shabbos is posculating like this or just putting this out there as at least to give you a source and food for thought. But Rav David Tzvi Hoffman says that it'd be hard to let someone get off the hook completely, because at the end of the day, you know, the person was negligent, they were poshea, and they didn't do the mitzvah, they kilu forgot to do the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. So again, that's just an interesting question to think about. Again, you have everything else set up in the house of the Kavod Shabbos, you just didn't light the Ner Shabbos. Additionally, one other case, which I also thought was interesting, is does Amira Lanachri save you from a knas? Meaning, in other words, like this. We spoke last week about having a non-Jewish person light for you Bein Hashemashos. Right? And we used that in the context of explaining the difference between Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, Kavod being before Shabbos, and Oneg doing things on Shabbos itself. So one thing we explained was that, let's say a person forgets to light candles, but it's within the 18 minutes. So you run outside and you find across the hall in the apartment building, and you find your friendly non-Jewish neighbor, and you ask them to light the candles for you. So now you just chopped your candles for Oneg Shabbos, but maybe you didn't have them for Kavod Shabbos. That's what we said last week. The question that we're asking this week now is what? Let's say you have your non-Jewish neighbor light them for you in the 18 minutes, right? Amir al-Nachri, it's going to be okay. The question is what? Do you have to continue lighting the rest of your life an extra candle? Meaning, you forgot, so Lamaisa, you should say you should have to light a candle for the rest of your life. Or you can say what? No, because by the time Shabbos actually started, once the 18 minutes were done and his mom is Shabbos, you have candles lit, and at the end of the day, you look at the table and the table has candles on it. So again, another interesting question that he kind of pointed out. I don't remember how he answered. But I do remember it was an interesting question to think about. So another food for thought. Now let's get back to the ones component here. If a person was ones and wasn't able to light, so we quoted the Mishnah Berurah and we quoted the Magen Avraham, who says she does not have to light a candle moving forward. So what's considered an ones? So the Mishnah Berurah told us that she's in jail and couldn't light in jail, so then she would be off the hook. It'd be considered an ones, and she would not have to light a candle moving forward. An interesting case that the Shmir Shabbos points out, quoting from the Or Chos Chaim, that if she lit candles but they blew out. So that's an ones, it's not her fault, right? We spoke about this in the context, again, last week about Hilchos Ner Chanukah, the notion of Kafsa Zakukla, or Kafsuk Ein Zakukla, meaning, if the candles are extinguished, do you need to relight, or do you not need to relight? So the Or Chos Chaim here, in the context of Ner Shabbos now, is saying that if you lit candles and they were blown out, so that's considered an ones, and you do not have to light a candle moving forward. However, that's only true if there was no time to relight the candles before Shabbos starts. If a person had time and the availability to relight the candles, but for whatever reason didn't, they were running around doing all sorts of stuff, and they were getting ready, and there was just, you know, the Erev Shabbos craziness and chaos. And she had, in theory, this opportunity to relight them, but she just didn't. So that potentially would be considered an onis. Again, if a person had no opportunity to relight them, so off the hook. Once there's an opportunity to relight the candles that got blown out, so that might be considered an onis. That's another interesting thing to note. The El Yoraba is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah that if a person is poor, Rachman Otzlan, so she doesn't need to add another candle. However, she should add a little bit of oil or get a little bit of a bigger candle. That being said, there are other achronim who say, no, if a person couldn't light because they couldn't afford candles, that is a spitz ones, and because of that, she should not be held accountable, and that's not considered an ones at all. Another interesting case, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, and we discussed this in the past, Echad Anashim ve'echad Hanashim chayavim liyos bebateim ner dalak b'shabbos. Both men and women are obligated in lighting ner Shabbos. So the Shmir Shabbos asks the following question. Let's say you're in a house where the woman of the house is lighting candles every single week. Now, once upon a time, she missed a week, and now she's been lighting an extra candle, you know, their entire marriage up until this point. Now, let's say, for whatever reason, the husband is lighting Ner Shabbos. The woman is away, the woman can't, whatever the case may be, whatever the circumstances are, but the guy is now lighting candles this Shabbos. So he wants to know, should he be lighting, right, not just the two candles, but the additional candle that's a Knas candle from his wife? Does he have to light a third candle? So again, the Shmir Shabbos is unsure if Lamaisa, he mamish has to, because you could say it's not, that wasn't his fault, per se, although we like the story in our house about our foot hurts, the story about Rav Aryeh Levin, how he went to the doctor with his wife, and they walk in, and his wife took off her shoe to show the doctor her foot, and the doctor says, what seems to be the problem? Rav Aryeh Levin says, our foot hurts, right? Imo anochi betzara. I would imagine it's probably a good shalom bias move if a guy is lighting candles to not light less candles, and even if a guy does, and there are no, besides me, no men on this shir, but we can just make sure people know. We'll say it anyway for myself, at least. If I ever light candles and I'm lighting, and there's one that's a knas, you should never rub it in that I'm lighting less. And because it was your knas, that's a pretty stupid thing to do. And I would imagine it's not such a big deal to light an extra candle, so you should go with the three candles and not the two. Ask your LOR, but I think on a shalom bias level, not a psak halacha level, I think I could say that. So, fine. Again, just to note, again, the Ber Halacha, which I think is an important Mar Malkum to remind us, when it comes to Knas, it's only a Knas, a person only gets the Knas of an extra candle if they completely forgot. But if you lit one instead of two, or two instead of seven, again, as long as there was something lit for Shabbos, that saves you, says the Ber Halacha, and that was against the Prima Gadlam. The Prima Gadlam says if you light less than the normal amount, that's a Knas. Ber Halacha says, whoa, slow down, that's not really true. What happens like this? Now, this is the flip side of the Shalom Bias problem, and this is another thing quoted in the footnotes of the Shmir Shabbos. A lot of fun cases in the footnotes this week. But let's say she wasn't there and he was lighting, or we should say he was supposed to light, and then he forgot. Right? Presumably the same thing on the flip side. If it's an ones, right? So you can say it's hard to imagine that she should be accountable for his ones. He dropped the ball, that's his fault. And that if he's going to be lighting at some point in the future, he always has to light one more. But she wouldn't have to light another candle for him. Unless, again, you go back to this chakir that we mentioned earlier tonight, that if you hold it to kapara, that it's some sort of an atonement, so then maybe you can say that a husband and wife are more together in terms of their shmiras hamitzvos, and it's a little bit more plausible to assume that she would have to affect some sort of kapara for her husband, and then a flip side also, like we said before, if she missed and he's lighting for her, so he should probably also write that additional candle, because again, they're kind of in it together. So those were just a couple ideas in terms of, I don't want to say shticky cases, but fun cases in the context of Ner Shabbos. Let's just do a quick chazara. We'll end a little bit earlier than we normally do, and then just a quick, just before we do the run-through of the chazara, for next week, again, I think, for those who joined a drop late, I think we are going to do a shiur next Monday night. Again, it wasn't in the initial email. I'll email Emma Katz about this, but I think there are people who are around. I think we could learn some Hilchos Chanukah. I'm happy to do electric candles with for Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos, unless someone people are interested in just a general some other topic in Hanukkah, and I'm happy to pick something else that I have or to look into another topic. Does anybody care? You can email me, mstromer@icja.org. You want to put in the chat, but I'm open to feedback, crowd participation. I don't like talking so much by myself. I don't know if that's like clear for me, always trying to fish for people to speak up, but feel free to suggest topics or whatever it may be. All right, let's just do this last little run through, and then we'll wish each other a good night. We started a discussion with how many candles should one be lighting. We spoke about lighting shtei psilos, two wicks or two candles. Again, the Beis Yosef pointed out that so much in Hilchos Shabbos is in pairs, whether it's Lechem Mishnah, Kavod and Oneg, Zachar v'Shomer, etc. The Mishnah Berurah tells us that there's an additional custom to do either 7 corresponding to the days of the week or 10 corresponding to the Saras Adibros, and we discussed the Chassam Sofer, who wanted to know why are we even allowed to light more if it's fundamentally supposed to be Zachar v'Shomer, but he said it's a mitzvah laharbos, the more candles, the more light, the better it may be. We got into a discussion about forgetting to light and having to add. Again, we have this Beralach in our back pocket that you only need to add if you completely forgot to light. But if you lit just the a smaller amount of candles than you normally do, you would not have to have that Knas candle moving forward. The whole notion of the Knas was based on a Maharil, who says you have to add a little bit to your candles. Again, he didn't say add another candle, but a little bit. Whereas when we quoted in the Ramah, he made it sound like you just have to add on another candle. And again, we said it's probably Betoras Knas, not Betoras Kapara. But we then also mentioned, first of all, an interesting question. If you turn on all the other lights in your house, the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, but you forgot to light the Ner Shabbos, the actual Neros, do you have to light a Knas candle moving forward? And then we spoke about the notion of an Ones, when you're totally, you know, it's totally inadvertent, not your fault, out of your control, and you forgot to light. So that's not your fault, and you would not have to light a candle moving forward. We defined what an Ones is and gave a couple examples of someone who would be considered an Ones. And I hope everyone has a fantastic rest of their week. Any last questions, comments, observations?
I have one question, because I thought at the beginning you made reference to this. If you're going away for Shabbos,
yeah,
I know it's a minhag. If somebody ordinarily lights 4 or 5 candles, but they go away, they may only light 2.
Yeah, so that would, I actually saw, I think the foot, I saw that in a Shmir Shabbos, I think it was, or Mishnah Berurah, that would be fine. To light 2 again is going to be okay. So no knas moving forward for that.
But I'm just wondering if there's a basis, what the basis is this for them? When you go away, you don't like the normal.
Oh, so it could just be that it's like more of a to-do. You're not, you know, you don't have home field advantage. You know, you're kind of out of sorts to just light, whether it's tea lights or whatever it is. I think it's like just a little bit simpler to light it. And at the end of the day, the halacha is you're lighting 2. So you're fine. And you don't have Zachar v'Shomer, and that's the basis. Happens to be, I'll just note, Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU. So he actually, there was a house fire in, I don't know if it was in Riverdale, the Bronx, or somewhere in New York a few years ago. And he's someone who's, I guess, a little bit nervous in general when it comes to fires and things like that. You know how people will put out there in Hanukkah, hopefully shuls will email, but they say don't leave your house as long as the Hanukkah menorah is lit. So he's makbid, you shouldn't leave the room as long as the menorah is lit. And there have been cases of, you know, it actually falling, but the family was there, they were able to pull it out. But he's actually makbid. He came out, I don't know how long, 2-3 years ago, maybe a little bit more. He came out and he told everybody in his shul, all the way, he says, everybody should be lighting only 2 candles. After that, there was this fire in the New York area. He said, don't light as many children, whatever it may be, 10 for a certain difference, nothing. Just light 2, Shomer v'Zachar, and that's it. So, there you go. Okay.
Thank you.
Everybody have a fantastic rest of your week, and have a great evening.
You too.